the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
Is it possible to learn this power?
Not from a Jedi.
The Council wants you to report on all the Chancellor's dealings.
That's treason.
We are at war, Anakin.
Very dangerous putting them together. I don't think the boy can handle it. I don't trust him.
I need your help, son.
I'm appointing you to be my personal representative on the Jedi Council.
You're on this council, but we do not grant you the rank of master.
What?
Obi-Wan and the council don't trust me.
Learn to know the dark side of the Force, and you will achieve a power greater than any Jedi.
You're under arrest, Chancellor.
Are you threatening me, Master Jedi? Every single Jedi is now an enemy of the Republic. Do what must be done. Do not hesitate. Show no mercy.
Who could have done this?
Twisted by the dark side, young Skywalker has become.
I feel so helpless.
Chosen
gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else of another species downloading this, welcome to Star Wars, a retrospective to a galaxy far, far away. Episode number three, man. Number three. I'm your host, Phil Rea, joined always by...
Lou Rodriguez.
Yes, it's Louis. We're back. It's episode three. It's the meat and the potatoes. Well, no, not really. I guess it's the meat and potatoes. It's like the meat and potatoes of the appetizer, I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that what
you
call it? Okay.
That sounds good.
All right, so before we get into anything related to the Revenge of the Sith, I just want to give a couple of things out of the way first. Cheap plug from me, if you listen to the rant, rantemradio.com. You'll be hearing this around the same time Turnbuckle Throwbacks goes to Fridays. Change of schedule and the work, so a cheap plug from me. Doesn't stop this. Lou and I are still doing this every month up until December. We're very, very excited. We got a lot of stuff for you guys lined up. We're plotting, we're planning. Up until December, we have a Christmas show going on, a live. Lou and I are going to be doing a live show to preempt the movie. We just talked about tailgating at the movie, taking off from work from the movie. Yeah. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good couple of months, and we're getting into the heart of the series. And I think all the – I think we did the first two episodes due diligence. I mean,
I definitely do.
Yeah, even though episode two was painstaking to watch, as you mentioned before. But yeah, that, and I want to just give a shout-out to Rant EM Radio for letting us do this, and to geeksoftheindustry.com for putting our stuff up as well. Chunky Larry and the boys are getting their stuff together, which is pretty cool. I enjoy. And we're getting a lot of good feedback. Lou gave me some feedback on his end. I got two or three guys that are just right now excited about it, and the rest of the Rant guys who aren't Star Wars guys are digging it. And speaking of digging it, our resident fanboys and nerds on the Rant, Surfer and Jordan from the What Are You Reading comic book show, as we speak, are broadcasting the final day of the San Diego Comic-Con, which is like the fanboy Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a lot of good stuff going on this year, too, man.
So, like, yeah.
Especially superhero-wise.
Yeah, so, I mean, New York does it big, but San Diego is the coup de grace.
That's the biggest one.
That's where you want to be. I was on eBay last night. I started getting these Funko Pop figures from Scott sent me one. My boy Scott sent me Brock Lesnar, and I picked up Judge Dredd I love Judge Dredd on Walmart.com. And I was looking for the Ant-Man exclusive that they, because you know what I hate about these Comic Cons. If you know, Lou mentioned he's never been, right?
No,
I've been to one in 40 years. But if you don't have a ton of money, like I didn't have a ton of money when I went, I told you I went on a limb, you know. If you don't have any money, these things are expensive. I mean, in terms of like these exclusive collectibles and toys and books.
For autographs, if you want to get an autograph, you got to pay for it. Yeah,
it's like $700 to talk to Stan Lee. It's like, get out. It's crazy. But anyway, you know, they have a bunch. They had a Stormtrooper thing going on. It was like, and you know, it probably went for like $30, but now they're selling it for like $150 because you know, oh, we'll throw free shipping in. Yeah, great. Not paying. I can't justify $150 for a fucking for a Stormtrooper. My wife would throw me out of the house. I just fought with her for, you know, party decorations that I want to, you know, because I want to coordinate my colors. She was like, I could have bought white. See what I'm saying? So if I would have bought a Stormtrooper in the house, I would have been sleeping with the Stormtrooper. And nobody wants to sleep with a Stormtrooper. But that's my story. I'm sticking with it. So Comic-Con's going on. And they showed a 3.5, maybe 4 minute behind the scenes trailer for episode 7.
So awesome.
Right?
Oh my God. The first thing that popped out in my head was practical.
Yeah.
Didn't see no green screen, hardly any green screen. It was mostly built sets.
Yeah.
The starships were built. Oh, that was right there. It just felt like the original. Remember the old CBS making of Star Wars? They used to show the specials.
Yeah.
That's what reminded me. I was like, oh, I just want to. I hope they do something like that so bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, you point out that stuff quicker than I do because you're a film guy. I caught the simplicity of it. And I also felt like when Mark Hamill is giving his, you know, his opinion of it and his feel of it, I got a sense of, okay, if Mark Hamill likes what's going on, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good, like, you know, as an old man now, I'm good with it. And he's older than me, so it's like, all right, this is good. Because, again, like we mentioned in the first two movies, we grew up with this stuff. And anytime you're going to anytime you're going to try to reinvent the wheel, you're going to get the cynical, opinionated pricks like us, and we'll make a comedic view of it, and we'll be serious too, but you got to come correct. It's 2015. Nothing is original anymore. Everything's redone. They're rebooting shit. They're like, it's not fun anymore to go to a movie unless you have a child or unless you're a comic book fan or a science fiction fan. We went to the movies a couple weeks ago. We saw Jurassic World, right? And we'll get into this real quick before we get into the retrospect of episode 3, but. And I found myself, now my wife can't go to a movie with me because I told you how she is. She's like Siskel and Ebert on PCP. She'll just take it and she can't suspend her disbelief at all.
Yeah.
No matter how good or how bad the movie is, right? So, the movie was so predictable. And I find myself, even with some of the comic book movies, I'm like, oh, it's predictable. Nothing keeps you at your edge anymore, you know? So if you're going to do something like this, and you're going to bring back the series and add to it what's already good, and some of it was great, like we'll get into today, show me something. Show me something. Make me believe. Make me, you know, 8 years old again.
That's the whole thing with this one. It has that nostalgic feeling where we're going back home, like Han Solo says.
Yeah.
It's totally that kind of feeling. And especially when they showed Peter Mayhew in the Chewbacca outfit, it's like, the guy's like 70-something years old, and he's still playing Chewbacca. But
yeah, taking the
need him to be Chewbacca.
Yeah.
He is Chewbacca.
Yeah. Anthony Daniels is still C-3PO. And I think this is their, like, their last hurrah.
Yeah.
It was like, shit, these guys are like 60 and 70 years old. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I mean, like, you have to understand, it's the party's coming down. So, you know, and the main characters that were there 40 years ago are now senior citizens. So, you have to, if you're going to include them, you got to come correct.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Excited.
I am excited. I'm very excited for December. I'm more excited about I'm more excited for September, because that's my favorite movie of all time, and I get to talk about it for 2 hours without anybody else's outside of you. I get no other opinion but you, and that's fine. Even if you didn't like it, I don't care.
That's my favorite movie of all time.
When people say, like, when the first conversation I have with Lou is, "What's your favorite movie?" I'm like, "Empire Strikes Back." Me too. Oh, can we be friends? We'll be best friends. Good. So now we're best friends. But
got tattoos on our asses.
We got tattoos on our asses. We got friendship bracelets. It's good times. Good times. But yeah, I'm more excited for August, man. I want to skip right through New Hope and jokingly. No, we're gonna do them all and give them their due diligence, and it's gonna be a good time. So whatever time you download this, by the way, thank you very much for downloading it, and thank you all again for your feedback. So, all right, so let's get into Revenge of the Sith.
And I just want to add, thank you for Revenge of the Sith, getting that bad taste of Attack of the Clones out of my mouth, because I almost gave up on Star Wars after I watched that twice.
Let me ask you something, I forgot to ask you this last month. The story I thought of Attack of the Clones was reading it. Like, if you gave me a novel, I think I would enjoy the book. This is one of the things where I would enjoy the book more than I would enjoy the film. Make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
So here's my question to you. What gave it the Rotten Tomatoes? Like, if, you know, you're a critic and you're sitting there going, you're a Star Wars fanatic. What did it in for you in terms of not following through with the storyline?
The story beats are really, like, sometimes it's going really fast and all of a sudden it just halts and stops. And now let's pay attention to two bad actors with two bad dialogue trying to fall in love. That is totally unbelievable. That throws it off right off the bat. It veers off the track. I always didn't like the Kamino thing. I think that kind of halts it a little bit.
Okay.
You know, there's certain parts that are cool about it, but most of it, the story just felt like there was a lot of exposition. Felt like everybody was just trying to talk and tell a story instead of showing us anything.
Because we're not the only ones. It's not like it's me and you against nobody likes this movie. No. Like, nobody. I don't feel that bad. Like, if it was just me and you, I'd be like, yo, dude, maybe we need to check ourselves. But
I watched it twice.
So did I.
Just right before the other thing, and I was just like, it made me like not excited about this anymore.
Fucking terrible. Like, I'm just like, oh, man.
And then I threw on Revenge of the Sith, and it was kind of like a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh, yes, okay, now I remember.
Yeah. I'm going to break the fourth wall and tell everybody that I delayed our recording this month by a weekend because of I had some technical difficulties in the room, in my studio, and I had some stuff going on personally and professionally. So, I actually got a chance to finish my prep and watch the movie again, and then I watched it again last night while I was just relaxing, you know, and trying to enjoy the weekend. This, by far, seeing it in the movies, and I saw it with a bunch of good people when I first originally saw it, but I took my family 5 years later when I started dating my wife in 2010, late 2009, we took my stepson, who was not even 4 or 5 at that point, and it was like, they re-released them in the theaters, and it was like seeing it in a theater, and this one, like, set the tone for everything, I think. I think it set the tone for the original three, and it gave it that feel. It finally, listen, episode one was like, okay, episode two was terrible, but episode three was like, it just kicked it right into
even, yeah, even the people that hated the prequels, even they could say that their Revenge of the Sith was the best one out of the prequels.
Because the prequels get no love. They don't. No, they don't. Anywhere. And the fanboys and girls are like, they hate them. And you see, I mean, I'm on the message boards. When the message boards got hot like 10 years ago, and then, you know, people on YouTube and movies, like, you know, and then a couple of comic book and sci-fi podcasts I listen to, just destroying these prequels. And I'm like,
but it's mostly, like I said it in the first episode, millennials, the kids that were born with this Star Wars, love this Star Wars. Love the prequels.
Right.
Because that's what they were raised on.
Sure, sure.
They saw the original trilogy after they saw the prequels.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And they actually, I find that they give it more love than us, who are more unforgiving.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, you know, I hate that term that they use, rape my childhood.
But yeah, like, because it's like, oh, you know, it's like, we got better technology and we had CGI. Well, we had clay.
Yeah.
We had scale models, okay?
Puppets.
We had puppets and, you know, banging piano strings for laser swords, you know what I'm saying? So shut up. Fucking, I hate old people and young people. Anyway, all right. Revenge of the Sith was released on May 15th and 16th, respectively. And then in Cannes and in North America. Then it got London on May 16th. 140 minutes, which is normal for them. 2.5 hours, yeah. Right? Here's what I didn't know. The budget was $113 million. They made $848.8 million on this movie. You know? So here's the opening crawl. I like to read the opening crawl now.
I like
right.
that too.
Okay.
I like
Here it is. War. The Republic is crumbling under the attack of the ruthless Sith Lord Count Dooku. There are heroes on both sides. Evil is everywhere. In a stunning move, the fiendish droid leader, which we'll get into in a little while, General Grievous, has swept into the Republic capital and kidnapped Chancellor Palpatine, a leader of the Galactic Senate. As the Separatist droid army attempts to flee the besieged capital with their valuable hostage, two Jedi Knights lead a desperate mission to rescue the captive Chancellor. Okay? Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Here's the synopsis. So it's been 3 years since Clones at this point in timeline. As Lou, are you comfy?
Yeah.
All right, good. I know I'm a little stuffy in here. I'm sorry. So it's been 3 years since the Clone Wars, right? And the start of the Clone Wars. Because the Clone Wars went on for a while. The Galactic Republic is in the midst of this epic battle with the independent systems under the leadership of Dooku.
The Separatists.
Who's also the Sith Lord. Darth Tyrannus, the Confederacy's cyborg military guy. General Grievous is the Separatist droid army, and of the Separatist droid army, infiltrated the Coruscant and captured the Supreme Chancellor, Sheev Palpatine. I always thought Sheev was a Jewish name,
yeah.
Right?
Mazel tov.
What is that? Velvet Sith? What is that? You're crazy. He obviously is the leader of the Galactic Senate, and he is in New York. He would be like the Mayor Bloomberg of the Senate, adding more terms to his shit, you know.
Yeah.
The Separatist droid army attempts to escape the Galactic Capital with a huge battle erupts. Obviously, Obi-Wan and his former Padawan Anakin lead a mission to rescue the Chancellor. Right, the Jedi fight through the Separatist armada. Go ahead.
Oh, let's talk about that scene for a second.
Yes,
that
go ahead.
Opening, first of all, it starts over with this really cool drum.
Yeah.
On the soundtrack. It's just doom, doom, doom. I don't remember. But yeah, it was really cool. I was like, wow, okay, it's different. Especially for Star Wars. But it's freaking, I mean, there's so much going on that screen. that opening scene.
Do you mean the space battle?
Yeah, the space battle.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Way too much CGI on that.
Oh, but it was so, I love it, man. I was like, I'm looking at it like there's so much stuff to look at.
You know what it looks like? It looks like when you play when we were kids, we had like games like Atari with that Missile Command. Remember Missile Command?
Yeah,
when you would see
that.
Like, and you just, they would, you had a, take your paddle and aim it till you shoot your cannon and stuff. It looked like fireworks almost, a really good fireworks display, you know?
So on the making of that, they were saying that, I never noticed, I always thought it was space myself, but they said that They did the battle right underneath the atmosphere, so this way they can be smoke trails. They wanted to do stuff like that with the missiles, and I never noticed that in explosions.
Yeah.
So, after I saw that, I was like, oh, shit, yeah.
No, I get it now.
Okay, that's why it's so smoked. So, apparently, yeah. They're right under the atmosphere enough where there's oxygen, where they can have smoke, and, they just wanted to really make it all, fill up the screen with everything they can, basically. And they literally do throw in the kitchen sink. There's a scene where one of the ships go down, and it's hit by a kitchen sink.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the opening scene for me was cute. Way too much going on, like we mentioned. You liked it more than I did. These buzz droids. Want to talk about the buzz droids for a second? Like, these little fucking, they're like termites. They're like, they come on, they try to, wreck the ship. They try to wreck Obi-Wan's ship. Now, apparently how the story goes is Obi-Wan is always getting himself into trouble, and Anakin winds up saving him. Mm-hmm. And he makes note of that every time he saves him. Like, oh, this is like the 10th time I saved you. 9th time. Oh, who's keeping track? You're a dick.
But at least it isn't bickering like it was in Attack of the Clones.
Right.
I didn't feel like they were bickering.
Yeah, at this point, Anakin is more comfortable in his skin. He's pretty much, at this point, almost done with his training. I guess he's considered a Jedi Knight now, and he's not a Padawan, but he still has his reserves with the council, mainly because right now of his little side piece, Padme, nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. That's a secret still at this point. And he's gotten to be real schmoozy with Sheev. Him and Sheev have been BFFs, and, it's like, but seriously, we'll get into the plot more, but, you could tell he's more reserved, and you could tell he's more mature. Still not a big fan of his acting, but
I was going to say, but it's a huge, huge improvement.
From Clones. Absolutely.
Except for the one scene we're going to show in a little bit. Besides that one scene, it's actually a huge improvement. And actually, I think it was Steven Spielberg. No, Francis Ford Coppola had actually recommended somebody to Christopher Neal to help with the dialogue and the acting. Because he felt, even Francis Ford Coppola had, they're all good friends, him and Spielberg and all them. And he basically got to pull him aside and say, listen, buddy, your fucking acting sucks.
I want to say the conversation. He goes, listen, I know where you are right now. I know it's very overwhelming for you.
And that it really was. It really was overwhelming for him.
Right. But you suck.
You suck. Yeah, you're acting. You could do a fucking great action scene. You could lightsaber battles. But the acting really got over.
This is Star Wars, okay? This is not Buck Rogers. This is not, Battlestar Galactica. This is Star Wars. You got to step your game up, Some people don't do nothing after this. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill.
he's a Joker.
Yeah, he was a great voiceover. Amazing. But but none of those guys outside of Harrison Ford did anything spectacular, right? Nope. Unless I'm, you're the film guy, so if I miss something,
right.
please.
The only one who made it out.
Yeah, so this could be your only shot to be on the big screen.
Well, Willow did pretty good for himself.
Wicked the Ewok.
Wicked, yeah. Warwick Davis. He got seven Leprechaun movies in.
Yeah,
I'd say
and he was in Willow.
He's in Willow.
Yeah,
a pretty extensive career.
That was when you were a kid. Did you have the Geo Club? We get the button and the candy and all that stuff.
No.
We had a thing called GO, General Organization Program, and we had if you pay, you had to pay dues, like a union. Mm-hmm. You pay dues, you get a button, and you get perks. You get to buy candy for after lunch. You get to get special book clubs, and library opens early for you, and you get a movie. So the GO movie in the auditorium this one year was Willow, and I was like, it's Wicked the Ewok. And I was like, who's Wicked? I'm like, shut up. At this point now, I'm like junior high school thinking I'm, big shit, So, anyway, moving right along. All right, so the buzz droids, another R4 unit gets destroyed.
When we talk about how the craziness, how crazy would that look? I have a 3D TV, and I kept just wanting to see this in 3D so badly. That opening scene, I think, would have been freaking nuts.
I have the 4D TV, but I never have watched anything 3D yet.
Okay.
I got a 4D
TV. Yeah, you got to get the Blu-ray. I showed my little brother. He hates 3D movies.
So do I.
So, but if you see it on the TV, Well, I mean, at least my TV. I'm not tooting my own horn here, but...
So you got to get a Blu-ray player. Well, you have to have a 3D version of it, don't you?
Yes, you have to buy the 3D version of the movie and the 3D Blu-ray
player. They had Star Wars in 3D?
No, they don't. I said I wish they were.
Oh, okay.
Because they had converted it, but they haven't released it yet. Like, they did do Phantom Menace.
Ugh.
They did that with the other two.
I had to buy 6 more of these fucking things?
Yeah. So, last night I actually showed my brother, his favorite movie is Man of Steel. So because of the whole, you know, trailer
That's
thing.
That's his favorite movie?
He loves that movie. He loves Superman. He's a huge Superman
fan. I love Superman, but that was his favorite movie?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not saying of all time.
Oh, okay, okay. Lately. You know, okay. You know, I bought the box set of that little box.
Yeah,
the
I mean, it's a great movie.
I thought it was a good movie.
But we watched it in 3D last night, and the whole movie, all he's going, holy shit, look at that. Oh, my God, look at that. Oh, my God, look at that, like a little kid. And he was like, okay, yeah, I like 3D on the TV, but not in the movies. I said, that's why I don't pay for the 3D movies no more. I was like, I'd rather watch it on TV. It's better. It looks better. But anyway, so...
No, go ahead.
No, we're going back to... I just said, I'm actually looking forward to that 3D conversion.
Well, good. We can watch it at your house, because I ain't buying 6 more movies.
I know you
ain't. Unless I buy a Blu-ray burner, we back them up, and then we'll do it like that.
We got them.
I can't, dude. I can't. Yeah. I can't. I got between VHS, VCD, DVD, and Blu-ray, and now digital. I have 5 different versions of the fucking movie.
I know, me too.
I can't. I can't. This is getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand, George Lucas.
Yeah, and he's going to take my money again.
Disney. just take here. Take all of it, asshole. Exactly. Take all of it.
My 401k is going right to the Lucasfilms.
$4 billion he sells to Disney for. And we're still buying shit.
Yeah.
At 40 years old, this is ridiculous. Stop it. Ugh. I almost bought a fucking Stormtrooper last night from the Comic-Con.
And risk your marriage.
Yeah, risk my marriage, yeah. Fucking Phil.
Yeah, what do we do?
You're a retard. You're a retard, Phil Rea. All right, anyway. Okay, so Anakin and Obi-Wan make their way through the flagship. Fighting their way through the droid army, and then of course R2 once again, you know, helps them, right? It aids them from the hangar bay while they simultaneously incinerating a pair of those big battle droids. I like the battle droids. Yeah, I said it in the Clone Wars. I'm going to continue to say it. Matter of fact, they again at Comic Con, and we can make a lot of Comic Con references tonight. They were selling a set of those battle droids.
The droid deckers, the one that's spinning and everything?
Yeah. They were selling a bunch of that stuff.
I like those ones, yeah.
But again, it's like $300. And unless you're single and have no life and you still live in your mom's basement, then there's no way you can afford the stuff. Moving right along. So, did I miss anything? You have your notes? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. We're good.
All right, so now we get to the rescuing of the Chancellor. All right? Did I skip anything?
Nope, we're getting to the good part. Yeah, real quick, the Nemodian. The Nemodian. Remember the two Nemodian guys, the racist Chinese guys from Phantom Menace?
Oh, yes, sir.
So now they got a new guy that they added in who's a California dude. Whoa, bro, did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you hear that guy talk?
Yeah. Good call on that. I totally forgot about that, yeah.
So I was like, did you try to make up for the racism of the first one and turned into a California surfer dude?
I want to know how Disney deals with that stuff. Because we talked about the racism stuff like that. I mean, and you made a light of it. You I think you said something to the point like, well, I don't think they mean to be racist, but it sounds racist. And you said that in the last episode.
Because it's a different accent from a different planet,
right? And I was like, you know what though? Like, you know, the way the fucking world is now, everybody's PC.
Exactly.
Oh, with the flags now, and everything's on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. Like, I can't, you know, I know these support groups are going to go right after Disney because, you know, Disney is, they've taken heat for stuff before.
We're going to get the special PG cut or G cut.
Yeah, I don't need the Lion King cut of Star Wars. You can't do this to me at this stage of my life. You can't.
Which, speaking of which, this is the only Star Wars movie that's PG-13.
Yeah. Well, it's violent, dude.
It is. 115 on-screen deaths. Most of in all the Star Wars movies.
Dude, you counted?
No, not me.
I'm impressed. Like, dude, that's like. I'm gonna make a reference.
Sitting there with the baseball counter.
No, dude. I'm a big fan of Scarface. Anybody who's our age should be a big fan of Scarface. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I'm not a.
Okay. And the word "fuck" was used 99 times in that movie. Someone counted.
Yeah.
Somebody, an exec from HBO. And I was like, dumbfounded. You mean to tell me, I'm sure it wasn't on purpose, but you couldn't say fuck one more time to make it 100?
Just throw that. There's some way you could add one in there.
Right. Well, I might.
Break even, man.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that. So yeah, PG-13 definitely. 100. How many deaths?
115. Oh, shit. They said if it was off screen, it would be New Hope since they blew up a whole planet. But yeah, this is the this is the thing you find on the Wild World Web.
Wow, that interwebs is some fun, huh?
Yeah, man. Oh shit,
that's some shit.
They got this new thing out called Google. It's crazy.
Google, yeah, dude. Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Alright, so
We're rescuing the Chancellor. So the Jedi's go to the top. They find Chancellor Palpatine. They're confronted by Count Dooku himself. Rest in peace, Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee.
This fucking thing will not. Hold on a minute. I'm gonna get disaster right now. No. I don't want to stop recording. There we go. Yeah. So now, rest in peace. Now the lightsaber duel ensues. And Dooku gets the upper hand at one point, right?
Yeah, it's Anakin and Dooku going at it.
Right. During the battle, Obi-Wan gets rendered unconscious
again.
And that, yeah,
and
again,
pinned down
with the big piece of metal from the top of the.
That always looked awkward to me. It's like kind of like slides over him.
Yeah,
like it looked really weird to me. I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't want to scratch you.
No. I don't want to scratch the paint. I'm just gonna move it over a little bit. Just stop. Stay there.
Good.
You know. Oh, good. There you go. So, now of course he's unconscious, and now Anakin's got to, you know, continue to fight. Dooku does the taunting, of course, because he's the elder statesman at this point. And the Force gets the better of the duel. And then he severs both of Dooku's hands.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool scene.
Yeah, and the look on Christopher Lee's face is dope when he cuts him. He's like, he has this look of like, you just cut my hands off. Like, what's wrong with you?
And meanwhile, Palpatine, which is his master, is just sitting there watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's what you can see.
And you know what's cool about that, too, with old Sheev? Sheev is sitting there.
He just loves calling him Sheev.
I do. I feel like I just had dinner, but I want matzo ball soup now.
His mama called him Sheev, I'm going to call him Sheev.
That's right. So Sheev is like, ooh, like making the face like, ooh, ah, ooh, like pretending he gives a shit. The best part. Honestly, he was great in this movie.
I was going to say.
He was amazing in this movie, dude. He stole the show for me.
Yeah.
And he was like, ooh, like, oh my God. Ooh, ooh, God, don't throw that piece of metal on Obi-Wan. Oh, no, don't. So now he cuts his Dooku's hands off. And Palpatine, now, Anakin's got both swords crisscrossed against the neck of a kneeling, handless Dooku. And Palpatine's like, kill him. Yep. And of course, again, Dooku's like, what the?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait.
You're supposed to be my boy.
You're my boy. What's up with that? So again, Christopher Lee, rest in peace, stole that scene too. He was like, completely. And of course he's unaware, but right guy, right actor, right personality to play that part. And he did it.
Yeah.
To like, I thought it was fantastic. And I look for shit like that because sometimes people get really into the fight scenes and the special effects and they don't get any of the subtleties.
Yeah.
Where you and I are like, oh, Anakin's a terrible actor.
Make it keep coming back.
Yeah. But stuff like Palpatine, yeah. Stuff like Dooku, it's like, okay, you look for stuff like that. I look for stuff like that now that I'm doing this whole podcasting series thing with this. So,
yeah.
Okay. So
he said, but when you were talking about when he does that, it's a great scene.
Yeah.
But he says, do it, way he does it.
You do it.
He just all of a sudden he starts turning into that emperor.
Yeah.
And you hear him just, do it.
Just kill him.
Like his voice changes.
Yeah. Like, so and he's 106 because, you know, he was from the first couple of movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's still hanging and banging this guy. So
it's a great scene.
It's a great scene. So now, of course, Anakin finishes him off with the lightsabers and cuts his head off. But unfortunately, an explosion occurs deep under the ship's core.
Yeah.
Brought on by the attack of a Star Cruiser. And, you know, stuff's going on. Now they have, now they have to go. He frees them. Let's go. Let's get this going.
They're doing a whole big chase.
And he wants to grab. Anakin wants to grab Obi-Wan, and Palpatine's like, "No, you can't." He's like, grab him. He's like, don't grab him. Let's go. We got to get out of here. And Anakin's like, no, he'll share the same fate that we will. And you don't like it, you know, eat a bag of fried dicks. I still have some kind of moral fiber to me because I'm not conflicted as you think I am. And he, at this point, he wasn't. Like I mentioned, he was a lot mature now, and only 3 years removed. They must have did a lot in terms of A, his training, and B, all the missions that he saved Obi-Wan's ass, you know?
If you're interested, remember they did a cartoon, not the TV show. There was a cartoon by the guy who did Samurai Jack. That was supposed to fill in the gaps to all the stuff. And they actually explained a lot of the stuff that how Palpatine got captured, how he got the scar on his face, because Anakin's got that scar.
Yeah, put me on that. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got the DVDs. I got them.
You do?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so I'll catch up. Get them to me right away.
Cool. It's really cool.
Get them to me, and I'll be caught up by the next movie. Let's see. Okay, so now they're just trying to get out of there, and they get to the bridge, and now they confront General Grievous.
Now, mind you, still we're in the opening scenes of this movie now.
Right.
And this all this happened in the first 20. The whole opening takes 23 minutes.
23 minutes, yeah.
That I checked.
You don't know.
That's an awesome opening scene, man.
And it's not like it's. There's a thing. I'm not a film guy, but timing in these movies, because you can rush. Like, I have a problem with Star Trek a lot of times because they rush a lot of the. When they put the movies out, they rush a lot of the scenes to get them out, to make sure you get all the dialogue in, because it's more of an intellectual thing than it is a fighting thing with Star Trek. With Star Wars, it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. With Star Wars, it's not, you don't need a big explanation. The scene, the actual fighting scenes themselves, and the what's going on is the actual explanation of the entire of the plot as you go along. And I think that's where Lucas did it better than everybody else. Like, you know, these stories were 20 and 30 years old that he wrote, you know, but I'm pretty sure when they did storyboards and stuff like that, I don't think he envisioned the first 23, 25 minutes of this movie to be as intense as it was on the big screen.
All right, you ready to be blown away now?
I'm ready.
The original cut of the movie, the whole movie, was close to 4 hours. That opening scene was an hour long.
So they cut that scene to 23 minutes.
Minutes.
So there's 47 minutes somewhere.
And they need to find that. Actually, I would love to see the 4 hours.
First of all, I would just watch. It's like you know when people watch Full Metal Jacket? They only watch the first hour of the movie.
Yeah, that's the best one. Yeah,
that's what I would do. I'd watch the first hour of Revenge of the Sith and then fast forward to the end.
To the ending, right?
When they fight on the volcano planet.
Yes.
All right.
That's fuck. I remember when Lord of the Rings did that with the director's cut, and it was 4 freaking hours.
Oh, and dude, that's another guy. Peter Jackson's like, listen, I don't know how many times he read the books, because the books are painstakingly long. If you read Lord of the Rings, yes. The Hobbit
is really
the
short.
Hobbit. The Hobbit's not that bad, but the Lord of the Rings books are huge, and it's like, oh. So when Peter Jackson does a 3-hour movie, it's the same with Lucas, 2.5 hours. You got to do something. An hour? That must have been awesome, though.
I really want to know what the fuck they were doing for an hour.
Exactly. Okay.
I mean, it was like in real time. It was like, this is the real time of getting from this side of the ship to the other.
Let's talk about General Grievous for a minute.
Ah, that's my man.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, because I did not appreciate him, and I'm being totally honest with you.
Okay.
I didn't like his character until I saw the movie a second time.
Okay.
I saw it with a girlfriend, and then I went back by myself, you know, like a matinee, like a day or two later. And I watched it again, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I want to see what's under the mask. I want to see why he has like this smoker's cough going on.
I can explain that.
Okay, you will in a minute. Good. But I totally got it. Like, I think, like, when you watch, like, the Clone Wars cartoons and you see all the different kinds of Jedi and you see, like, how many species of people there are in this huge, vast universe of Star Wars, I feel like here's a race of people that don't get, like, he reminds me of somebody like that got like a break. Like, he probably met him in a bar somewhere. Like, hey, listen, man, how would you like to, what are you, a smuggler? Yeah? How would you like to, you know, work with us for a little bit, you know? How would you like to rock this armor and, you know, how would you like to learn the ways, you know?
Yeah.
So, explain, I dig the character. I totally dig him. And he grew on me a lot. And every time I see the movie now, I'm like, that's my man right there. I like him. He's like, he's awesome. So, explain to me why he has that smoker's cough.
Yeah, it's a couple that I can talk. Well, the smoker's cough came from the cartoon that I'm going to lend you. Obi-Wan had actually crushed his chest using the Force while he was fighting him.
Oh.
And that is why he has that empty face chest plate where he gets shot later on.
Oh, shit.
And that's why the cough came from. The cough is actually George Lucas. Because George Lucas had a bad cough, and he said, you know what, record that. And they put a little echo to it, and then they threw it on there.
That's awesome.
So, so Grievous is, he was actually made. And a lot of people, the misconception is that he was strong in the Force or whatever, that he was with the Force, and he isn't at all.
So he was man-made by them?
He was man-made, and they used a Jedi's blood that was high in the midichlorian count. And that's why he was able to adapt to the lightsaber fighting.
So there's only one kind of him.
Yeah, so he's a one of a kind.
He wears the armor because...
It's like kind of like he's like a robotic kind of cyborg type.
Oh, it's like a cyborg?
Yeah.
Oh, so that makes perfect sense then. Yeah. Now he's even cooler. Okay. Okay, that's it. He's a cyborg with Jedi blood, and he's a Sith.
One thing you can't argue with George Lucas, as much as you can argue about some of the things he does, his villains are always awesome.
Yeah.
He always has great villains.
Yeah. So they confront Grievous, and, you know, Grievous has the bridge crew regain control of the flagship, and then he fires the booster engines. He makes the two Jedi and, of course, their ward, they get him captured in this bubble. And the ray shield trap, right? And the three are brought to the bridge under the custody, but R2 successfully creates a distraction like he always does. With, like, you know, confetti and stuff. No. Allowing the Jedi to retrieve the lightsabers, and they break free. Okay. So now Grievous then sends his powerful... I didn't know what they were called until I read it. They were called the IG-100 Magna Guards.
That's good.
I didn't know what they were called. I make sure I copied and pasted that when I was reading it. After the Jedi, and Obi-Wan quickly beheads the Magna Guard with his blade, but the droids continue to fight, forcing Obi-Wan to slice the warrior apart before it deactivates. Anakin finishes off the other guard and destroys the battle droids, attempting to drag Palpatine from the bridge. The Jedi close in on Grievous, but he smashes through a window and gets away, using a MacGyver-looking tow cable.
Yeah. That was a pretty cool scene, too.
Yeah, because
the whole ship is, like, tilting.
It's tilting. He smashes the window.
Yeah.
You know, he can obviously breathe in space because he's a cyborg. Now, I didn't know that. Thank you. And he gets, this tow cable. Grievous, he latches onto the ship and heads for one of the escape pods. And then all the escape pods go. And he goes to the safety of a Trade Federation. It's called the Lucre Hulk class battleship. Again, I didn't know that. I had to copy and paste that. Once again, the flagship begins to descend in a free fall into Coruscant. But Anakin takes control of the ship because apparently he could fly anything. And he makes note of that.
A scene stolen straight from Airplane.
Right. I just hope he started talking jive, right? How dope would that be? So, you know, he goes and... He can land. Apparently, he can land any kind of plane,
including
fucking starships. Yeah,
that's not even a freaking.
Here's my question. Now, I know the language on some of the ships is different, like the reading and stuff, because every race has different. They had their own language and stuff. And my thing is, they don't have like Google Chrome where they can just. So I'm probably reading too much into this, but I'm thinking like if you're part of this. This realm, and you have some kind of pilot instinct, I guess you can control most of the ships, but like, you gotta know when you're like, if you're low on fuel or something, it's.
Also, you gotta also think too, I mean, the size of that ship, It's not a guy sitting in fucking a pilot seat.
No, it's
that's a, like a crew.
It's a crew, yeah. So now he lands the ship with no help.
Yeah, exactly.
Grievous had seven guys. He had two Sulus. You know, he had two Mr. Sulus. He had two Uhuras and probably a Spock sitting behind him. Yeah. And now he's got, it's just.
He's got a steering wheel all of a sudden.
That's it. That pops out of nowhere. It's like, okay, I'm going to land this thing. And a little unrealistic.
I hope there's parking.
Right, which that probably took the last. You see how that scene took an hour? That probably took 15 minutes. I don't give a shit. You're going to land a starship by yourself?
Yeah.
All right. All right, tough guy. So now they're on Coruscant, and Anakin is, of course, praised for his heroics. You know, he's. And who's waiting for him secretly behind one of the. Underpasses there.
Yeah.
Good old Padme.
With her beer gut, because apparently that's what she's telling everybody.
She got the, yeah. You know, she's, in Naboo, there's a, you know, big drinking, big fucking hipster section of Naboo where they go to pubs and they drink and wear messenger bags, and she probably hung out with them. Because, again, she's making money. She's not, I mean, now it's, she's a different stage of her life now, and she, even though she's still young enough, she's in transition on her planet. Mm-hmm. So, and nobody knows what she's about to tell Anakin, so I guess the beer gut is the only excuse, you know? Because she's not old enough to start, you know, everybody gets old, they start gaining weight. She's not that old.
Yeah.
So now this smoochy in the shadows of the office building there, you know, keeping their love a hush-hush, it's a secret. And then, of course, she reveals to him that she's Prego.
Yeah.
So now I first saw this and I'm like, you knew this was going to happen because of the way it ends, but I'm like, oh.
Yeah, we get one of our famous Anakin Padme interactions.
Which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, that's the second one. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's only three of them in the movie.
Well, but this one's the worst. But this one's the worst. Yeah, the one that you picked out is the worst.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
But they thankfully, one thing that they learned in Revenge of the Sith, I think, is they learned from all the mistakes that they did in Phantom and Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
They fixed all that. So any scene with them two is really, you can literally see it's like less than a minute.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I'm pretty proud of myself on this next part because I didn't know all the names of the political guys and the military guys.
Okay.
I knew who Vice Gunroy was. I know who Pogo the Lesser is from the last movie. I didn't know who the other guys were, and I'll get to that in a second. But at this point, Grievous is now with both the political and military leaders of the Separatists. They arrive on the planet of Utapau.
Utapau, yeah.
Utapau, right? Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Thank God this isn't Japanese. Mega Powers would have my head for this. samurai style, where Trade Federation Viceroy New Gunray, all racist Asian guy, the Genosian Archduke Pogo the Lesser, as you mentioned to him, and the Techno Union head of the state, and Emir Wat Tambor, and the others of the Separate Council remain in hiding. General is contacted by Darth Sidious, who gives him instructions to move the Separatist leaders to a volcanic planet, Mustafar.
See it again.
Mustafa. Mustafa. Arribanga! I'm sorry. It's Disney. We can start doing that now.
Yeah.
Mustafa. And he explains that the war is almost over. So, of course, Grievous now uncertain of about it. Given Dooku's death, Sidious assures him that Darth Tyrannus' death and loss was necessary, for he would soon have a new apprentice, one far younger and more powerful.
Nice.
You like that?
I like that. That was good.
A Dooku Chief? All right, good. I'm practicing. Getting to
bar mitzvahs and everything.
What is that? Velvet? More powerful and more young, far more younger. Where's my, here we go. This is the best part about having a mixing board. And I have Lou picking out times for me. It's like just, I had the movie all queued up anyway. Cause I was, you know. So, we go back to, I guess this is not Naboo, is it?
This is Coruscant.
This is Coruscant.
Yeah.
And they're in like the, I guess the Hyatt, the Grand Hyatt of the Coruscant. They're in this big posh room. Padme's on a deck wearing her blue curtain.
Brushing her hair.
Which is
on the balcony.
On the balcony, like.
Use a bathroom.
Yeah, really. who does their hair? Like, I know any woman that brushes their hair without a mirror.
Yeah.
My wife has two mirrors, three mirrors right here, dude, in the bathroom, one outside, and one in the bedroom. So, like, you know, you have to look at something while you're brushing your hair, right? Okay. She's not.
But
strike one.
I think going to explain it for us. Maybe because she's so beautiful.
No. And I knew you were picking this out. I just didn't know what you had to give me a time. I knew where you were going with this. So, and this is why I like you. So now this is about 29. You were about 30 minutes in. Like Lou said, the battle took 23 minutes. The last 7 minutes was just the bad guys getting their shit together after the nonsense. And now these
and
two.
Prego reveal.
And the, you know, future plans for the child. And the happy couple. So let's take you now.
Almost like a scene cut straight from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah,
we bring you
probably recorded during the Clones. Yeah, really. They had that feeling of it. So let's go.
Let's
take this to the scene now. Stupid hair, Anakin.
I want to have our baby back home on Naboo.
Of course you do.
We can go to the Lake Country where no one will know, where we can be safe. I can go early and fix up the baby's room.
Of course you could. He's just eyeing it down.
I know the perfect spot.
And she's still on the summit, though, right?
Yeah.
So she's going to disappear for 9 months.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You're so beautiful.
It's only because I'm so in love.
No. No, it's because I'm so in love with you.
That's the trick. You can't be beautiful unless somebody loves
you. Love has blinded you?
Yeah, Shakespeare now.
Yeah.
Well, that's not exactly what I meant.
But it's probably true.
And thank God, that scene is literally like 45 seconds long. Did that not feel like you just wasted an hour and a half of the podcast?
I'm not getting that 45 seconds back.
It ain't, man.
But I gave it to you because... Because you point these things out to me, and I love it.
Because it really is. It's like it's comedy, man. It's like you said, your favorite line was, "Who writes this shit?"
Yeah, exactly. So here's where the change starts. Well, before we do that, give me the next. You have any more? Okay.
Oh, so 41.
41. Okay. Yeah. Here's the change for Anakin. Let me see. Hold on a minute. Okay.
I'm sorry. I got to do it, man.
No, it's fine, dude. That's fine.
I really get a kick out of the Anakin.
I know, dude. That's why I have the movie queued up. I'm not. I'm here for you, man. 41 seconds, right? All right. All right, so we'll let Yoda talk for a couple seconds because now he's. This will lead up right to what we're talking about anyway. So this is the change now, I feel. This is where it starts getting to Anakin. He starts waking up in a cold sweats, and he's getting the same dreams that he got when his mom was getting her troubles. He's seeing into the future of demise. He reveals to Padme that he's been dreaming about her dying in childbirth and believing that he can't live without her, and vows not to let this dream come true yet again because he kept dreaming that his mom was getting killed, and he got to her too late. So Palpatine. So what?
Oh no! Go ahead.
So now, then we get to Palpatine requesting Anakin's presence. They meet in the Chancellor's office, right? Yeah. The Senate has granted the Chancellor further emergency power. No shit, giving him direct control of the Council. Palpatine confides in Anakin his fear, distrust, and contempt of the Masters. He appoints Anakin to be his personal representative on the Council. So. The High Council they accept it, but they don't approve of it. Like, they accept the request, but they don't approve of him being...
They know something's up.
So they don't rank him the grant. They don't make him a master.
Like, yeah, he wants to be a master. And
right.
He thinks he deserves it.
And he's like, I deserve this. And he's all angry and all the shitty outbursts and all that. The Council goes on to discuss matters concerning the war. It's decided that Anakin will be assigned to protect the Chancellor, and Yoda will take the battalion of clones... to reinforce the Wookiees on Kashyyyk. Now.
Excited.
I am excited. I'm going to bring up the Comic-Con yet again, my friend. Yet again. Hold on a second. Did I just pull my headphones out? I did. Okay. Because I just gave Lou a pound because I'm excited. There are some new Star Wars comics coming out, and I still haven't read the old ones yet. But They're giving Lando, on a side note, they're giving Lando Calrissian his own series.
Yep.
And they're giving Chewbacca his own series.
I'm curious about that.
That's what I'm curious about. If you see the scene of Kashyyyk, the Wookiees don't really speak. So, I mean, they don't really. So unless they're going to, like, do bubbles of them actually talking
yeah.
Like, I don't. You know,
which they did do in the books.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah, they actually aired the Empire. They hide out of Kashyyyk. They hide Leia.
Yeah.
In Kashyyyk for a while. And they did something similar. They even had a Wookiee there who had a speech impediment who could actually speak English. Remember that.
So, you know, now. So now, yeah. So now he's going to go with the Wookiee. And Yoda's just letting everybody know, I got some pull now. You know, I have. This is, you know, the Wookiees are my people. We can make this happen. And then we'll. We'll show up when we're ready, and we'll have the help of the Wookiees and the clones. And
yeah, can we talk about Kashyyyk for a little bit?
Go ahead, man.
Well, we were talking about Edge of Empire. That's when they really, you know, that was a
right.
book. It's no longer canon now, but...
that book is just got an anniversary, I think.
Yeah, it was 92.
25 years old, that book. You could buy the anniversary book.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, that's the first time that they really mentioned Kashyyyk. But do you know the first time we actually seen Kashyyyk? Trivia.
I love loose trivia. No.
I don't remember. The Christmas
special. That's right. That's coming in December on Rant Ian Radio.
And they actually got the design from that. They actually used it. So that Christmas special did do something for us the whole universe.
So when we pick it apart, we'll give it props again giving us the motivation for this movie. Okay.
The trees and everything. But I was so excited when I heard that we were going to finally get to see it. Because if you remember, we were supposed to see Kashyyyk and Return of the Jedi.
Right. They were supposed to be, Endor was supposed to be the Kashyyyk. It was supposed to be a planet of Wookiees. They turned them into Ewoks.
So, and we'll get into that whole story.
We'll get into that when we get to Jedi.
And so it was so disappointing. Like, come on. Wookiees are like the coolest fucking, from the original Star Wars, from New Hope.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Chewbacca.
I think outside of Boba Fett, which is my favorite character, I think Chewbacca is my second favorite.
And as far as alien species, too. I mean, you just wanted to see that
big giant dog. It's like, who loves, I love dogs.
They kick ass. They're
dogs. They're warrior dogs. Exactly. They wear bandoliers and fucking crossbows. I can't, there's nothing bad about a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Nothing. Really. Maybe they smell if you don't clean them. I don't know if they groom themselves like dogs do, but honestly, unless besides an odor issue, It's a win-win.
And so that whole scene where, later on when they get into it, but when they actually show Kashyyyk and everything, and the Wookiees fighting, tense, man.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it was.
So Anakin's pissed off. Now here's the fun part, which adds to more of Anakin's anger. He's telling Obi-Wan he's pissed, and now Anakin tells him, I don't want to say this in front of everybody, but you know, they want you to report on all the Chancellor's dealings, essentially just spying on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Anakin's confused and upset between he and he's torn between both his friends and his loyalty, which is obvious, you know.
Yeah, he's got the Sheev telling him to report everything they're telling him, and they're telling him to repeat everything the Sheev's doing,
right?
You got me saying Sheev now.
It's my boy, Sheev. Come on, Sheev. You know Sheev. He went to school with his mother. So now it's, here's the turn. Anakin he's nervous. He's upset. He's proud of his position. Maybe a little too proud. And now he's very, very confused.
Yeah.
Which is a problem. Mm-hmm. Because Jedis are not supposed to be confused. They have one job, and that's it, to protect and serve. Two jobs. They're like the police. Good police, not where we live. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, so now Lou got me on this point here. Yoda having a conversation with Anakin about his...
So the reason why I pointed this one out is actually you can see an improvement in his acting.
Yeah.
And that's why I picked this one out. So just so we don't totally rip on him the whole time.
No, because again, this is...
start improving in this.
This movie is the meat. This is the meat and potatoes now. This is where it gets to... This is where you start learning the turn and why it was so necessary for all this to happen prior to him flipping the script, as we say, around the way, you know?
And actually, that you said that, that was one of the main reasons why Francis Ford Coppola got the acting coach.
Uh-huh.
To help him, because he's like, yeah, you really need to do a lot more emotion in this movie, because this is
Star Wars, dude.
This is the big one. This is the one where Anakin, we need to know that he's Darth Vader by the end of this movie.
Yeah, this isn't an episode of Friends, okay? You gotta come correct. Okay, so let's play this real quick.
I don't trust him.
With all due respect, Master, is he not the Chosen One? Is he not to destroy the Sith and bring balance to the Force?
So the prophecy says.
A prophecy that Miss Reg could have been.
He will not let me down. He never has.
I hope right you are.
Is that it? We got a lot of people waiting.
That's it?
No.
This is it right here.
A little too far back.
Okay.
So they're sitting on a couch in their living room.
Right.
Sometimes I wonder what's happening to the Jedi Order. I think this war is destroying the principles of the Republic.
Nice helmet.
Have you ever considered that we may be on the wrong side?
What do you mean?
Padme's helmet, yeah.
No, just...
What if the democracy we thought we were serving no longer exists?
It's a Tuesday headgear.
And the Republic has become the very evil we've been fighting to destroy.
I don't believe that. And you're sounding like a separatist.
This war represents a failure to listen. Now you're closer to the Chancellor than anyone. Please, ask him to stop the fighting and let diplomacy resume.
Don't ask me to do that. Make a motion in the Senate where that kind of a request belongs.
What is it?
Nothing.
Don't do this.
Don't shut me out.
Let me help you. Hold me.
Like
you did by the lake on Naboo. So long ago.
How many times did you use that?
You
know you used
I did.
That.
No politics.
I just
no
replaced Naboo with Queens.
No war.
So yeah, the dialogue is still horrible. But I think it was an improvement in the other. I think he's not as bad as he was in the other ones. At least not as stiff, I think. What do you think?
I feel like this right here. Between his meeting with Yoda and him going to the sperm lake, I call it, with the Chancellor, with Sheev, and he learns the tragedy of Darth Plagueis, I think that this is where he steps his game up.
Yes, I agree.
And takes control of the movie. Because at this point now, again, like I just mentioned before, he's overwhelmed, he's conflicted. And he's got a shit ton of power he's not aware of yet. And he's the only person that could manifest it if he wanted to. And I think with... And this is where I like Mace Windu being so anti-Anakin, because everybody else is like, well, isn't he the one? Isn't he the chosen one? Isn't he? Well, so the prophecy says, but you know what? I think he's a herb. You know, I think he's... conflict, and Mace Windu was the only one. I mean, Yoda had an idea, and I'm not saying Yoda didn't know, but Yoda didn't show his feelings for it like Mace did. Mm-hmm. Mace was like, "No, this kid is conflicted. He's confused, and I don't trust him because he's under the influence of Sheev. And I think they don't know who the Sith Lord is that they're, you know." They don't know that Sheev is the Emperor, but now it's all Anakin.
I got a question too. With all the technology they have, don't they have psychologists in space? That's all it fucking what it took was one psychology session with their freaking actor. They actually did a study with real psychologists and said that he has a personality disorder, and everything that he does in the movies was actually true for a personality disorder.
As a first responder, mood disorders, personality disorders, schizophrenia, bipolarism, are stuff that I saw regularly at one point in my career. I could tell you that half of them were influenced by a controlled substance. Okay. Unless you're really a head case, you're a head case. He's a head case.
You know, that's a... awesome thing that you just said there, because what I read too was about the dark side of the Force is almost used like a drug.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool that you said that. Now I'm thinking
right.
about it, like, yeah.
Because adrenaline releases endorphins. Mm-hmm. Whether you're, whatever you're doing that's whether you're doing something you like, whether you're having sex, whether you're exercising, whether you're watching Star Wars, adrenaline releases endorphins. But you have somebody who's got so much and who has gained so much in so little time in his life. Was he barely 20 years old at this point? Was he 19? Right? Yeah. Right. So, like, you know, think about it, though. Here's a kid who didn't find out he was gifted until he was almost 10 years old.
Abandonment issues.
Yeah. Like, oh, just go, yeah, leave mom and go with these two Jedi that are, you know, dressed in potato sacks, and they're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
But, like, no, there is no, if there was a psychiatrist in, you know, in Coruscant, then I guess you wouldn't have, all you'd have is a fight scene.
Yeah.
You'd have an episode of The Clone Wars. And then you wouldn't have this amazing movie that's about to happen. I don't know.
But it's just so funny because there's so many philosophers in the Jedi way.
Yeah.
And you just think they couldn't figure out that, you know, even Yoda couldn't even see, like, there is something wrong with him. But I can't put my finger on
it. Everything's a feeling. I feel this. I feel that. I have this feeling. And all the Jedis feel it. But Mace was the only guy who was like, nah, no, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
Of course, the brother points it all out, right? And I hate to sound racist, but it's not even racist. It's just that, you know, the brother knows. And this time, the brother don't get...
He's from the streets.
Yeah, and it, honestly, it's the first time the brother doesn't get... The first one to get killed in a movie, you know? So, anyway. Okay. So, anyway, so Palpatine requests Anakin's presence in the office. Like I mentioned before that. Okay, I'm up to that. And blah, 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 blah.
We're going to the opera now?
Yes.
Yeah, we're out to the opera.
I took the quote. Is it possible to learn this power? Not from a Jedi.
So the power he's talking about is the power to, was it to create life, right?
Right. So at the Galaxy's Opera House in the Uskuru district of Coruscant, which I didn't know until I read it, Anakin joins Palpatine in watching the Mon Calamari ballet. Squid, see? Told ya.
Well, Mon Calamari is where Admiral Ackbar is.
Right. Performing Squid Lake. Okay. I didn't know that either until, but it makes sense. Palpatine tells Anakin that clone intelligence, meaning me, has located General Grievous hiding in the Utapau system, where he was originally meeting with the other guys. Anakin's delighted by this news, and as Grievous's capture will accelerate, he's like, "Whoa, the war's going to end." Palpatine remarks that he'd question the competence of the Jedi Council if Anakin was not sent on the mission, inviting Anakin to join him. Palpatine dismisses the aides. Leave us. And then now here's Palpatine's going to seduce... She's going to seduce Anakin to the dark side. And this is the best... Probably the best part of the movie so far. Next to the fight scene. My opinion.
Yes.
Okay. So this is it. So Sheev tells him, listen. He tells Anakin by telling that the Order wishes to overthrow the Republic and that if he suspects it, Anakin must surely have seen what happened. Anakin confirms that the Jedi don't trust him, right? A fact that Palpatine explains and expands to include the Senate, the Republic, and the democracy as a whole. So Anakin tells Palpatine that his trust in the Jedi has been shaken, and Palpatine knows and is reading his mind pretty much and says... And sees Anakin's dislike for the council and his mission to spy on him and all that. And Palpatine knows all this.
He's playing on all of his weaknesses.
It's just like he's just, and it's so awesome. So Palpatine takes Anakin back to some early political lessons and try to teach him that all those who gain power are afraid to lose it. And that includes Jedi. Anakin tries to defend the Jedi, again, conflicted, which I love, by saying that they use powers for good, but Palpatine argues it's only... That's good is only that one point of view. And noting that in almost every conceivable manner, including the quest for greater power, the Sith and the Jedi are exactly alike. Of course, Anakin, being disgruntled and conflicted, disagrees, saying that the Sith depend on the passion. They depend on their passion for their strength, and they worry about themselves, where Jedis are selfless and thinking only of others.
So here's the thing about dark side. The dark side, we were talking about before, about how they were saying it was almost like a drug.
Right.
The dark side actually makes you believe that everything you're doing is for the right reason.
Right.
And the more you do bad, it kind of feeds on that, makes you feel good, where you were saying about like the endorphins and all that.
Yep.
Getting that rush.
Right.
Which makes you want to do, it's kind of a cycle.
Right.
It becomes this big cycle where you keep thinking you're doing good, but you're actually just gaining yourself more power by doing more evil stuff.
Right.
Which, that is the reason why people are like, the reasoning for this was that people complain that they think that he turned too quickly.
Right.
To the dark side. But this is the reason why, because just like that, you know, he, and you can see that through the movie, he's just feeding off of that evilness more and more.
Right.
It's just making him more and more.
Yeah. So after a brief pause in the conversation, Palpatine makes a remark about the tragedy of Darth Plagueis. The why. Darth Plagueis, the why. Palpatine describes Plagueis as a dark lord of the Sith, so powerful and wise that he can use the Force to influence the actual midichlorians that create life. But not only this, having such power and knowledge of the dark side, Plagueis could use this ability to save people he cared about from death. A statement which gets Anakin's attention, which was Palpatine's intention anyway, and Palpatine describes the dark side of the Force as a pathway to many abilities, considered by some to be unnatural. When Anakin asks what happened to Plagueis, Palpatine concludes that Plagueis became so powerful that all he feared was losing his power, which he eventually did. Unfortunately for Plagueis, he taught his apprentice, who happened to be Darth Sidious, all he knew. After that, he had killed his apprentice in his sleep. He killed his master in his sleep. The Sith apprentice in the story is as implied by the film and explicitly stated in various Star Wars legend sources. I didn't know that either, that is Palpatine himself.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Until I read that. So,
that Palpatine was the apprentice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So Palpatine notes the irony of how Plagueis could keep others from dying, but not himself. When Anakin asks if it's possible to learn this power, he replies, "Not from a Jedi." Furthering alienating Anakin from the Jedi Order.
So now we go back to Attack of the Clones.
Right.
Where after he killed the Sand People, Anakin's big speech with Padme about how he hated them all and he wanted to kill them all. He said, "I wish there could be a way I could find to stop death."
Yeah. Well.
And Mr. Palpatine.
She was like, "I got that.
I got that.
I got you, son. I got you."
He's playing on that whole thing. Because I'm sure he said it more than once.
Meanwhile, back on the greatness that is that is Kashyyyk, Yoda, Luminara Adooli, and Gree, along with Tarful and Chewbacca, I didn't know these people's names until I read it, defend the planet against the Corporate Alliance tanks, dwarf spider droids, droid gunships, and a legion of battle droids.
Fucking scene is like something out of Saving Private Ryan. They're storming the beach in Normandy.
It's like Normandy on crack. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so
that's
great,
that's a great comparison.
Oh, so good.
Later in a meeting with the Jedi Council, Anakin relays the information about Grievous, explaining that a partial message was intercepted in a diplomatic packet from the chairman of Utapau. Yoda says they should act quickly and decisively on this information. When Anakin expresses his interest in going to at Palpatine's request, there's Mace in your face again, harshly telling him that the council will decide who goes and not the chancellor. Yoda believes that a master with more experience is needed to confront and defeat General Grievous, and that guy with the beard, who's Ki-Adi Mundi, I think that's his name?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, the guy with the beard, the long, the cone head, he agrees and nominates Obi-Wan to go. I agree that General Kenobi should go. Okay. With the nomination agreed, the council adjourns, and Obi-Wan prepares to go to Utapau. So now it's Obi-Wan versus Grievous, right?
Okay. Yeah, we get the cool fight scene. I mean, chase scene with the, I forgot the name of it, the lizard.
The thing that he rides?
Yeah.
Hello!
I thought that was a pretty cool scene, especially the whole world. It was like these craters kind of thing. And
yeah, let's see. Hold on a second. Let's see.
There it is right there.
Yeah, let's see. Hold on. Let's keep the sound of that. Yeah, exactly.
It won't be long before the armies of the Republic track us here. I am sending you to the Mustafar system in the Outer Rim.
Real quick, quick thing. You know the Road Warrior? You're a fan of the Road Warrior?
The first one?
Mad Max, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The Road Warrior, the second
one. Yeah. With Tina Turner?
No, that's the third
one. That was their one.
Yeah,
we don't need it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Remember the guy that drives the helicopter?
Yes.
He's the guy that greets Obi-Wan when he first lands on the top.
Oh. They're here.
Yes.
He's like, there are thousands of them. Okay, if you have warriors, now is the time.
Yeah, that was the first time I knew that. I love the Road Warriors. So.
It's good stuff. Though. So I just want to get to the point. I just want to get to the part where Grievous and Obi-Wan, where he jumps in and.
I think this. Yeah, because
this is it right here. More.
It is a volcanic planet. You will be safe here.
Safe? Chancellor Palpatine managed to escape your grip, General. Without Count Dooku, I have doubts about your ability to keep us safe.
Be thankful, Viceroy. You have not found yourself in my grip. Your ship is waiting.
He doesn't give a fuck. He just jumps right in the middle.
Just jump right in here.
Hello there.
General Kenobi.
General Kenobi. You are a bold one. Kill him.
All right.
So that hello there was also the same hello there that he used in New Hope.
Yeah.
A little trivia.
Yep. You know, to go on this wild, it's a bantha, that lizard, right?
No. No, the bantha is the elephants.
The elephants.
There was a name for it. It's with an F.
Yeah.
Flame or something like that, or fleam.
Yeah. So, all right, where were we? Okay. So, you know, Anakin walks Obi-Wan to the Star Destroyer, right? Is Obi... Oh, no, wait.
So Obi-Wan versus Grievous. He kills Grievous.
He kills Grievous.
Shoots him with a blaster.
Right. All right. So where are we now? You want any more footage? Or
no, good.
You good?
Yep.
All right. So. Anyway, so where were we now? Hold on a second. So there's a conversation with the. Let's see here.
Yeah.
You want to play this one?
The next one I got is 141, but that's, you know, my stuff.
Okay. So we want to play this part or the conversation with Palpatine and... Or no?
I don't think you really...
No? Okay. Yeah. So he has a conversation.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of mixing in, yeah, with different...
Yeah.
Yeah, with the fight.
All right, so they meet up. Anakin walks Obi-Wan to the Star Destroyer before he leaves. Anakin still believes he'd be needed upon Utapau. While Obi-Wan agrees, he also notes that it might be just a chase. Anakin stops Obi-Wan and tells him that he knows he's disappointed. He's like, Master, I know you're disappointed. He has not been acting very grateful for his training. He says he's... Like, in other words, he's apologizing. But he's just been so frustrated with what's going on. Obi-Wan says Anakin is wise and strong and tells him that he's very proud of him. Obi-Wan says he's trained Anakin since he's a boy. He calls Anakin far better Jedi than he was. But Obi-Wan encourages Anakin to be patient, that it won't be long before the Council makes Anakin a Jedi Master. The two bid farewell. And this is before he leaves for Utapau, right? So, let's see.
Okay, so we passed all that.
Yeah. We passed all this. So Coruscant, Anakin tells Palpatine Grievous has been found. Anakin assists. Yeah, that was the part. Okay, I was going to play that. But the conversation shifts to Palpatine's knowledge of the Force. Palpatine reveals that he is Darth Sidious.
Yes.
Right? Anakin ignites his lightsaber, threatens to kill him, then decides to expose him to the Jedi Council. He's still concerned with saving his wife and believes Palpatine's knowledge can help him. Obi-Wan continues the chase. General Grievous, mentioned that, all that, kills him. So now we get to Sidious being revealed as the Emperor, right?
Yep, the Master.
Master. and of course, Mace Windu is sent to arrest him, right? In the name of the Galactic Senate of the Republic, you are under arrest, Chancellor. And then, of course, Sidious responds, are you threatening me, Master Jedi? No, the Senate will decide your fate. I am the Senate. Not yet. Well, it's treason, then. Anakin returns to the Jedi Temple and approaches Windu and tells Anakin that they had just been informed that Obi-Wan had destroyed General Grievous, right? And so they are going to go to the Senate to ensure that Chancellor Palpatine gets back his emergency power. However, Anakin reveals that Palpatine is a Sith Lord and is not likely to give up his power. A statement which shocks Mace Windu, stops him in his tracks. Anakin confirms he just what he said and believes Palpatine is the one that they've been looking for. When Mace asks how Anakin knows this, he tells Mace that Palpatine knows the ways of the Force and has been trained to use the dark side, and he's absolutely sure of it. Mace says their worst fears have now been realized. If Jedi Order is to survive, they must move quickly. Anakin warns Windu that Palpatine is very powerful, and they'll need his help to arrest Palpatine, but Windu urges him to stay out of it. Of course he does. And then senses much fear in Anakin, again, which we knew, and it's clouding his judgment. Mace Windu also adds that if Anakin says that he's true, then Anakin will have gained his trust. But for now, he wants Anakin to wait in the council chambers until he returns. Mace Windu, Kit Fisto, Agon Kolar, and Sacy Tin, I knew all the names, so I started reading it, board a gunship, and they're heading to Palpatine's office. All right? And there was that was a quote I read before. You're threatening me. You Master Jedi and all sorts of treason. Okay.
Now, Samuel Jackson had actually told George that if he's going to die on here, he doesn't want to go out like a punk. He literally said those words.
Right.
He said, "I don't want to get stabbed in the back by no clone. I don't want no dying in my sleep kind of bullcrap." He says, "I want to go out." With a blaze of glory.
So
and he sends them off.
Right. So before this happens, they're in the council chambers, and remembering Palpatine's promise of stopping death and dreams of Padme dying, Anakin ruminates over his decision in his mind. He fears Palpatine's voice saying that if the Jedi kill him, and any chance of saving Padme will be lost. Finally, he leaves and rushes after the four Jedi, after not listening to Mace, right? So Mace and the other three Jedis arrive at Palpatine's office. Windu declares that I just mentioned it. He's under arrest. It's treason. The lightsabers ignite. Palpatine pulls a lightsaber from his sleeve, which was dope. I love that part. And hurls himself at the Jedi with a screeching war cry. Agon Kolar is the first to die. He runs right through the chest. Almost immediately after that, Palpatine turns and slices Sacy Tin's torso. And a few seconds later, with more effort from Sidious, Kit Fisto is also killed with a slash across the gut. Only Mace Windu remains against the Dark Lord. Want to get into that?
I just got to praise, man. You really did a minute-to-minute on this one, man.
Yeah.
You definitely did some detail on this one.
I did. I did.
Reading the novelization
and I just and I copied and pasted the stuff I didn't know. Like, I took stuff from what I was reading, and then I took stuff... And, like, the people's names, I just copied and pasted in my notes because I didn't know all these people. I'm like, I didn't really care.
Well, that's what's cool about doing this podcast. You're learning even more.
I learned so much about these movies in the last 3 months. Yeah, it's been amazing.
You're not lying.
So here's a quote. The quote that I like. No, I took these quotes. The Force is strong with you. A powerful Sith you will become. Henceforth, you'll be known as Darth Vader. And that's what's coming up now.
Cool.
So Palpatine to Anakin, Palpatine and Mace continue to fight, leading out the Chancellor's Antech chamber into the office, right? So now Anakin arrives at the scene just as Windu disarms Palpatine. Both guys are standing at the edge of the large window, shattered. Every window is shattered during the duel in this movie.
As
Mace threatens Palpatine, the Sith Lord unleashes a torrent of Force lightning, like you see in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
However, Mace deflects it with his blade, casting much of the energy back into Palpatine's body. Palpatine's face becomes horribly disfigured. Now you know why he doesn't. Now you know why he looks like he's 106 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of Mace. Okay. He ends the assault by claiming he's too weak to fight. Mace is deciding to kill Palpatine. Anakin enters and claims Palpatine must stand trial. Windu regards this, stating Palpatine is too dangerous to be left alive. Anakin is finally forced to choose between the Jedi Order or Padme. And this is the deciding blow. As Mace is about to deliver the killing blow, Anakin makes his choice, intervenes, and cuts off Mace's hand. Palpatine's cackling with glee, right? Blasts the shock Mace out of the window to his death hundreds of stories below. Anakin's still horrified, though. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yet he knows there's no turning back now. He pledges allegiance to Palpatine and returns the Dark Lord's power to stop death. In hopes of saving his beloved wife, Palpatine takes Anakin as a Sith apprentice, bestowing upon him the name Darth Vader. Palpatine then gives Vader his first assignment to launch an assault on a Jedi temple. This is terrible. Ensuring all the so-called Jedi rebellion is crushed. Lord Vader now heads to the 501st Legion of the Temple. I didn't know they had legions. Not only the retired veterans did.
They actually named them after a cosplay group that dresses up as stormtroopers and stuff like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's an actual, and George Lucas paid an homage to them.
That's dope. I didn't know that. Yeah, see, cool. Again, I learned another thing. He brutally makes his way to the... This is like the worst part of the movie, actually. Making his way to the temple, he cuts down every Jedi across his path, including Swordmaster Syndralic and in the clan of younglings hiding out in the council's chamber.
So here's one thing. When I watched that scene last night, and I guess maybe because it was from film's class, we watched it in our film's class that I had about a year ago. Holy shit, that scene is totally out of the scene from The Godfather. The christening scene.
Yeah.
It's the montage of just everybody getting cut down and everything, like all the mafia guys and just like the Jedi. So I noticed that, whatever, so I made a little note of that. As I'm doing some more research reading, he purposely did it because his good friend is Francis Ford Coppola.
Right.
And that's exactly why that whole scene happened. All like right. That.
Okay. So now at this point, Palpatine... in his office, he broadcasts a command to all the clone troopers and their commanders throughout the galaxy to execute Order 66. An action that is effectively set into motion. Explain to everybody what Order 66 is.
We went through that, right?
No, we didn't.
Oh, the whole Jedi is getting...
Yeah.
Oh, you were talking about how he killed the other
one. Yeah, okay. So across the galaxy now, clone troopers turn against their Jedi generals.
Yeah, and that's the scene I was talking about. It's from Godfather.
Right.
Where they're just seeing all the different worlds.
Right.
Where all the Jedi are and
Yoda takes the... Oh, Yoda feels all the, you know, all the death and despair now. He's all mashugging.
He makes it out of there because he senses that something's going on.
Right.
Because they're about to kill him and he chops their heads.
Yeah, everybody's murdered. Like, people getting killed. So now, Yoda, like you said, is overlooking the ongoing battle. As Commander Gree receives the order, he and his lieutenant attempt to sneak up to Yoda, but the aged master, of course, senses their intent and beheads both of them. Tarful and Chewie take Yoda and they help him escape the planet. Senator Bail Organa, played by Jimmy Smits, right? Bail Organa, arrives at the Flaming Temple to witness the slaughter of the young Padawan named Zet Jukasa by a squad of troopers led by Commander Apo. Organa, horrified, flees the scene and departs Coruscant.
That was George Lucas' son, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the little kid that ran in.
Yeah, and the sundered heart in an attempt to make the contact with any of the surviving Jedi. Both Obi-Wan and Yoda arrive, and they survived the order, obviously, and are picked by Senator Organa, having evaded the pursuit. The Jedi decide to return to Coruscant to recalibrate the Jedi beacon, calling for all Jedi to return to Coruscant, knowing that there is really a trap set up by Palpatine. Instead, Kenobi hopes to warn any surviving Jedi to stay away from the temple following the attack on a Jedi. Vader returns to Padme at the Senate, the apartment complex that they had over there, from where the smoke rising from the wrecked temple can be seen. That's a sick scene, too. He tells her the Jedi tried to take over. Take over the Republic, and that they are traitors in the Senate. He asks for her loyalty to Chancellor and then tells her that he will go to the Mustafar system.
Say it again.
Where the remaining separatists have gathered to end the war. So... We're not at this part yet, right? No. No. Padme.
That's what the crowd. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the actual.
So
quote.
This is what
comes from that.
So this is how Liberty dies.
Yeah, I have 141. Yeah, I have 141.
So we're up to this now, right? No.
Yeah, I believe so. I think we're coming up to it.
Right. So Padme, Amidala to Bail Organa following the proclamation of the New Order. On Mustafar, Vader is greeted by Viceroy Gunray, but quickly traps the Separatist Council in a bunker, and he slaughters our boy Poggle. I lost it. He slaughters Poggle.
Poggle, Gunray.
Gunray, oh, Hosko, Putnudo, all these guys I didn't know. Tambor, among the others, right? He leaves Gunray last, slicing him across the chest as he pleads for his life. It is that point that Vader is the first physical manifestation of the dark side, okay? Why is this Ranger picture popping up? Because I'm pointing at pictures over here. And then the Senate, like we just mentioned, holds the session. Palpatine tells him the plot of the Jedi to overthrow the Senate. All the Jedi are going to be hunted. To ensure the security and continued stability of the Republic, we recognize the First Galactic Empire. Palpatine describes as creating a safe and secure society. As the majority of the Senate screams their approval, Amidala and Organa, who are shocked at the result, look simply around the Padme and only remarks, "This is how liberty dies," with a thunderous applause.
That's a cool line.
I love that. In the meantime, Obi-Wan and Yoda go to the Jedi Temple, slaying clone troopers, walking in disbelief through all the wreckage and carnage. Yoda notices that several of the fellow Jedi were cut down by a foe wielding a lightsaber. They recalibrate the temple signal to warn all the Jedi to keep away from the temple. At the temple's control center, Obi-Wan looks at the security recordings and in disbelief. Now he sees who was on the security cameras killing these Jedi and the younglings. He's beside himself. Yoda says he has no choice but to destroy the Sith, including Vader. Obi-Wan begs Yoda to let him take Palpatine. However, Yoda refuses, stating that Obi-Wan cannot win the fight. Yoda tells Obi-Wan that Anakin has been consumed by Vader and must be put his brother out to misery. So Obi-Wan now wants to get Anakin's whereabouts, find out where he is, gets to Padme's apartment in the big sky, right? Is this it right here?
Yeah, 141 I had it. I don't know if that's...
This is 138.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's the same.
Yeah. That's 141 right there.
Yeah, so...
So you want to play this part here?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Is this it or no? I mean,
I think so, yeah. I didn't put anything on that.
All right, so now...
Yeah, no, that's the part. Yeah, he killed younglings, yeah.
Okay, so let's do that.
Vader. I do not know where the Emperor has sent him. I don't know where to look.
Use your feelings, Obi-Wan, and find him you will.
Alright. Alright.
When was the last time you saw him?
Yesterday.
Do you know where he is now?
No.
Padme, I need your help. He is in grave danger.
From the Sith?
From himself. Padme, Anakin has turned to the dark side.
You're wrong. How could you even say that?
I have seen a security hologram of him killing younglings.
Not Anakin.
It looks like something from an old movie, right?
Yeah.
It's like, no.
He was deceived by a lie. We all were. It appears that the Chancellor is behind everything, including the war. Palpatine is the Sith Lord we've been looking for. After the death of Count Dooku, Anakin became his new apprentice.
I don't believe you. I can't.
Padme. I must find him.
You're going to kill him, aren't you?
Goddamn right I am.
He has become a very great threat.
I can't.
Anakin is the father, isn't he?
No. It's Jar Jar.
I'm so sorry.
all the crazy shit that she went through with him in Attack of the Clones to this. I mean, he killed children, women, men, and children in, with the Sand People.
Right.
Now he just admitted that he killed younglings, which are humans.
Right.
Well, you know, young kids learning children. Jedi. Yeah,
right.
Children.
Yeah.
And she still can't fucking...
No. She's blind. She's telling him she's blinded by love before. Like, really?
Now, who's more crazy?
Right.
Her or...
Where's the psychiatrist now? Need him, right? Okay. All right, so apparently I'm getting way too... I took too many notes, but I'm sorry. I just... It's you know... I wish I could just, you know, we should like Mystery Science Theater and just talk over the movie.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But anyway, all right, so here we are, Mustafar. Padme has to leave there to meet her, you know, to meet Vader now.
Yes, and Obi-Wan
secretly stows away in the ship.
Get a really cool scene too. I think was that the 141?
Is it 141?
No.
When he comes off the ship. No.
Yes. This scene right here is pretty good. When she talks to him.
Okay. She's like, oh. At least she took the helmet off.
Yeah.
The special kid's helmet. C-3PO. C-3PO should be like the... He's like the shoulder to cry on. Yeah. Every depressing scene he's in.
That's true. Yeah, so she finally landed on the planet.
Yep. She's
out of there. She's definitely showing too.
Yeah, she's showing now. It's been a long 9 months, you know.
What are you doing out here?
I was so worried about you. Obi-Wan told me terrible things.
What things?
He said you've turned to the dark side. That you killed younglings.
Obi-Wan is trying to turn you against me.
He cares about us.
Us?
He knows. He wants to help you. Anakin, all I want is your love.
Love won't save you, Padme. Only my new powers can do that.
At what cost? You're a good person. Don't do this.
I won't lose you the way I lost my mother. I am becoming more powerful than any Jedi has ever dreamed of.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for you.
He doesn't sound crazy. No. Deranged.
Come away. Lunatic.
Help me raise our child. Leave everything else behind while we still can.
Don't you see? We don't have to run away anymore. I have brought peace to the Republic. I am more powerful than the Chancellor. I can overthrow him. And together, you and I can rule the galaxy. Make things the way we want them to be.
This is great.
Now she realizes it's crazy.
Obi-Wan was right. You've changed.
I don't want to hear any more about Obi-Wan. The Jedi turned against me. Don't you turn against me.
I don't know you anymore. Anakin, you're breaking my heart. You're going out of my follow.
Because of Obi-Wan.
That was the coaching, the acting coach's day off.
Because of what you've done. What you plan to do.
He's on a lunch break. Ah, shit, you filmed that already? Fuck it.
Stop now, come back. I love you.
She's Obi-Wan.
Liar! You're with him! You brought him here to kill me!
No!
Let her go, Anakin!
So he's doing this all for her, but he chokes her.
Go!
Yeah?
Could have shook the shit out of her.
Here it is.
You turned her against me! You have done that yourself! You will not take her from me! Your anger and your lust for power have already done that. You have allowed this Dark Lord to twist your mind until now...
until now you have become the very thing you swore to destroy.
Don't lecture me, Obi-Wan. I see through the lies of the Jedi. I do not fear the dark side as you do.
I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire? Don't make me kill you. Anakin, my allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy!
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes. I will do what I must.
You will try.
And here we go.
Yeah, I think me and Phil just got like totally entranced.
Yeah, totally entranced in this movie. So here's the battle. Student against teacher.
Awesome. One of the best battles.
Yeah, one of the best battles by far. And they pick this Mustafar thing is like the perfect spot.
Yeah, and that was always from the original, you know, lore was that they were gonna that Vader would, you know, was on this volcano planet or whatever, and
yeah,
got burned and became
right. We'll play that in a second, but Yoda now approaches Palpatine.
It's a great scene too, man.
Yeah, just like it's
master versus master, like
yeah, and it's again, it's got this Empire Strikes Back feel to it. Like, you know, you just know it doesn't have a good or a bad ending. You know, it's like
yeah, it's totally. I mean, it definitely ends on a dour note.
Yeah,
they lose. They definitely lose. You know.
All right. You know, so now it's their fight. And again, this is a good scene, but Yoda is overwhelmed. This is probably the only time I thought Yoda was underestimated. The Emperor.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So the fight ensues back on Mustafar on the other side here. But you know, you could tell that Anakin's now more seasoned because you know he really doesn't flex his muscle. I mean, with Dooku, in the beginning, was like, eh, but now it's like, you know, now he's angry, he's upset, you know.
And it does, you know, it has shades of Empire where, you remember how Luke, when he fought Vader at the end, he, different style, he was more angry, coming at him like just nonstop or whatever, no real finesse to it.
Yeah.
And you feel like that with Anakin.
Right.
Vader, where he's kind of not as finesse, but everything he's hitting at him.
Yeah,
he's hitting
but him with power. I mean, Anakin, you could tell he's inexperienced because now Obi-Wan's getting the upper hand. Mm-hmm. And while he's getting the upper hand on Anakin, the Emperor and Yoda are about to finish off, and Yoda knows he's too. He's overmatched at this point.
He's definitely overmatched.
And needs to escape. So, that you know, really cool scene, though, with these two.
Yeah, yeah.
As the, you know, the.
Just seeing the two icons themselves.
Yeah, it's this is like you're at the edge of your seat, you know. If you have to go to the bathroom, you're holding it in, and they're fighting in the big conference, like the United Nations thing that they have, the council, you know, amphitheater they're fighting in. And you could tell, like, Yoda's like, all right, you know, I got this. And he's for the most part, he's in, but, you know. And then these two go at it again.
Yeah,
and
it's great. I mean, it's
and they go back and forth. Yeah.
I think between the both of them, it's a nice 10, almost close to 10 minutes that they're fighting. You really got a really good
yeah, and now, you know, it's you know, using the force on each other, and it's like, you know. But it's, you could tell, like, it's painstaking for Obi-Wan, too. It's like, you know, he has to kill his apprentice, you know.
And his brother, like you said.
And his brother, you know.
They've known each other.
Now there's, there's an... Mustafar is, I guess, I don't know.
They say it's like a factory that almost like a dam that gets energy from the lava.
Yeah,
they either get the minerals or, you know, it was pretty cool. We watched the making of it. They
yeah.
Talk about how they didn't want just a regular lava planet. They want to kind of make it like a workable planet, like something, an industrial planet, basically. I guess you could say.
Yeah. All right. So Yoda escapes.
And, you know, I'm jumping a little bit, but I always felt that Yoda was a little hard on himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm going to go into exile because I couldn't kick freaking Palpatine's ass.
Yeah.
And I always thought that I always bothered me. I was like, man, Yoda, brush yourself up. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You'll get him next time.
Don't right, right. Yeah, you get it. Just, you know, get yourself together, you know.
Do a little training.
Have some trail mix. You'll be all right.
All right.
So, you know, as the fight ensues, Anakin's getting more powerful. His eyes get the glow.
Yeah, they're puffy.
They're puffy. Yeah. They're red. Like he's like he has rabies, like, you know, galactic rabies.
He has some good Jamaican shit.
Oh, good Jamaican, good wacky tobacco.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's like, you know, why are you doing this? Meanwhile, and here it is.
He gets the high ground.
He gets to the high ground and cuts off the limbs and everything else. And
again, showing inexperience, he tells him, don't jump. I've got the high ground.
Yeah.
And Anakin, not wanting to listen to him, jumps and...
Eyes are red.
You were the chosen one!
Ah.
It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them! Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness!
Closer to the lava.
Yep, starts to slide closer.
My brother Anakin! I loved you!
Anakin catches fire now. Obi-Wan can't see this. He's getting all verklempt. Anakin catches fire. Obi-Wan's like, I can't look at this. Anakin's burning now. Just as bold as I am. Walks away, regroups, grabs Padme, gets heads back to the ship. She obviously needs medical attention.
Yeah, she's almost in a coma, I guess.
She's probably in a coma now. That he crushed her airway and put her into friggin' septic shock.
Way to go, douchebag.
Yeah, way to go, douche.
I did this for you, but yeah, fuck you. You know, I'm choke you.
They're in the Naboo cruiser. They take off. Obi-Wan's like distressed. 3PO can give a shit. He just wants an oil change. He's all messed up. So they bring her back to the birthing room, and she's giving birth to the twins now.
The twins,
right?
So one thing I never noticed was I read about was that Leia has her eyes open, and Luke doesn't. And that's why in the future trilogy, she says that, I remember my mother. I remember images of my mother.
Wow, yeah.
I never
just
noticed that.
Two and two, yeah, put two and two together.
Yeah.
So now she gives birth. Everybody, Bale's there, 3PO's there, Yoda's there. The midwife is a lost in space looking robot. Yeah. And now, here's the best part. See, now, let me pause this for a second.
Well, the great part.
So now Padme dies at childbirth. We know the story.
Yeah. She gave up hope. She didn't want to live no more. That was her excuse.
Right. While this is going on, a rescue ship gets whatever's left of Anakin.
Yeah, Palpatine picks him up.
Palpatine picks him up and brings him to their ship and starts to
give him medical attention.
Yeah, and what's cool is the one droid is the protocol droid. The medical droid that was, if he didn't come in a, you had to order him separate. He was in a, like, back when Empire was out, they had these packs of droid packs. They had, like, these figures up.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. You didn't get them regularly. It was, like, a thing where you had to, like, you had to look for it, you know? But he was cool. He had a little tube on, and, like, he's in a couple of the movies.
He was in Empire.
He was in Empire, right?
Yeah, that was when, after they found Luke from the Wampa.
So now, so he's all, like, has no limbs, and they're like making him like a cybernetically enhancing him. And this is where the theater erupts because now they're lowering this mask on him to obviously help him breathe and maintain this suit that he's got. And we all know the suit, and let's get to that right now. And then you get to see what he sees as he's getting a mask load onto him.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And there's the suction. And then the theater goes crazy.
Yeah, that was great.
And Padme dies. God bless.
Obi-Wan. There's quite a name. I know. I know this.
Yeah, yeah, we know. We know. We know. All right, so.
So that one great scene. Okay, I want to know, how do you feel about this next thing that everybody hates?
Which is what, this?
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, the fucking theater erupted. Like, they were cheering for this.
Well, this part was great.
Yeah.
But the whole, after he finds out about what happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like this. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Can you hear me? Yes, Master. Where is Padme?
So bad.
Is she safe?
Even as Darth Vader, he still sucks as a bad actor.
Is she all right?
Even with a different voice.
In your anger, you killed her. I couldn't. She was alive. I felt it.
Emperor's digging all this, like, yeah, keep getting mad.
No! No! Oh, that was a bad fucking.
Alright, so now the Jedi regroup. The two kids, now they have to go into hiding. Whatever was left of them, you know? Everybody's ashamed and embarrassed because they were overmatched and overwhelmed.
Except Obi-Wan. He came out pretty good. I mean,
well, yeah, but he beat him. But now he's got to go into, like, but now he thinks he beat him. Yeah. They don't know he's alive, yeah, obviously, yeah. Until, you know, 20 years later. But they split the kids up.
Yeah.
So Leia goes with the Organa family.
Yep.
And
to Alderaan.
Alderaan. And Obi-Wan takes Luke to
Tatooine
for Uncle Owen and Aunt LaRue.
Yep. Where we start off our next movie.
Where we start off our next movie next month. And
he goes into hiding himself.
Yeah.
He's got to watch over him. And that's when Yoda tells him that he's got a message from Qui-Gon.
Yep.
About that, how to...
like this?
Yeah, yeah, go
okay.
Training I have for you.
Training?
An old friend has learned the path to immortality. One who has returned from the netherworld of the Force. Your old master.
Qui-Gon.
How to commune with him, I will teach you.
Which explains all the ghosts in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And, well, even at the end of New Hope and Return of the Jedi. And that's why you don't see any ghosts in the first prequel. Because he just learned about it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the last scene is the kids getting split up. And that's your movie, man.
Yeah, that was it.
And I got to tell you, it's, I mean, you want to go over we don't have to, but, I mean, the cast was,
okay,
I mean,
pretty much the same as Attack.
Pretty, yeah, much the same, much so we'd have to go into anything else. You have any more notes?
No, good, man. Pretty good. Yeah, now I got everything I have to say.
And that's what it is.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it was also the most well received out of the prequel. Like, everybody,
yes,
said that, everybody. But it, me personally too. I mean, I think at least the top three out of the six.
So, again, this set you up wonderfully for the next several months of this podcast, and about 2 hours, we did all right.
Yeah,
I mean, I dragged a little bit, but I was, I, for me, it was, this was the best, one of the best movies, man. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, this might be my second favorite Star Wars movie, Next Empire. I mean,
I'm going to wait till this whole thing is over with, because I'm actually seeing the movie.
See him
now.
Again? You know what?
Well, I've seen him in a different way.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna take that back, because I might feel differently.
Yeah.
But this was so fun to watch.
I honestly never hated Attack of the Clones as much as I do now.
No, yeah. Like, you don't realize how much shit you see on the internet doing this podcast. And you're like, oh my God, people just... I mean, I'm sorry. We gave it its due. We didn't totally dog it. The acting, obviously.
Yeah.
But...
I'd say it's like 30% good.
Yeah. Yeah, right? All right. So, I guess we should just start doing the plugs and get out of here. Yeah, but anything else, though, before?
No, man. Like I said, man, this was a joy. It kind of wiped that nasty taste.
Of the clones out of your mouth?
Clones out of my mouth.
Good,
so I feel like I'm in love with Star Wars again.
So, ready next month?
Yeah, I'm ready for New Hope.
Episode Hope, 4. Yeah.
Where it all started.
Yeah, man. So
that's going to be a lot of... that should be interesting, because... there's probably going to be more backstory, because... Who doesn't know New Hope?
Of course.
And it's not even that a lot of a story to New Hope. It's basically, do this, do that, do that.
Yeah.
Credits.
Yeah, awesome. So
this should be fun talking about that one.
Yeah, so we hope you enjoyed this as much as Lou and I had talking about it and me taking 17,000 notes on it.
guys, you don't even know, man. You got to see this. I got
a fucking stack of papers.
He's got the novelization of it.
Yeah, I took a whole bunch of shit from the internet. And added my own stuff. I took people's names.
It was great.
But yeah, it's going to be a good ride. And we're getting to the meat and potatoes. We might even incorporate some more people on the next episode. I'm working on that. I know Lou's got some people we want to incorporate. It should be fun. And we hope you guys enjoy what's been going on so far and enjoy the future shows. It's going to be awesome. You can get them all on rantemradio.com and as well as geekcityindustry.com. We're on Facebook. Follow the Facebook page. It only gets posted when we do another episode. So if you got any questions, comments, leave them on the page. Lou and I will get back to you as soon as possible. And just be on the lookout, man. This is a fun ride for us.
Yeah, definitely. So we're almost at the halfway point.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of special episodes in between, man.
We're going to be doing a lot of stuff between now and December, so be on the lookout. So for Lou, I'm Phil. Thank you so much for hanging with us. Any last words before we get out of here?
May the Force be with you.
And God with you, too. And God bless everyone. And may the Force be with all of you. And until next month, we'll see you guys later.
All right. Good night.
Peace.